Chapter 5. Aspen. To Aspen's great relief, Rouge and Doombloom looked fine. Silas was perched on the High Elf's shoulder, and she too seemed intact and healthy. He let out a breath he hadn't been aware he was holding, and looked around. They were all crammed into a small room, with Kor taking up the majority of the space. The goat looked extremely uncomfortable, especially since the head librarian was more under him than beside him. The head librarian brushed aside a hanging veil of fur and looked around. His beady blue eyes focused on the worn remains of carvings on the walls, and a brief smile crossed his face. He stroked his beard thoughtfully, humming thoughtfully to himself. Rouge appeared beside Aspen, throwing her arms around him in what looked like relief. "I'm so glad you guys are here. I was getting really worried, and we can't figure out how to get out. Doom says there should be an exit rune or something, but we couldn't find it." The head librarian shook his head. The wrinkled little man had made his way out from beneath the large ruminant, and was gently touching a series of sinuous raised lines on the wall. "This is an ancient dungeon. From long before you travelers came to our world. There's no way out but through, and most of the rules you think you know won't apply. The gods shifted things to accommodate you, but in the forgotten byways of the earth, there are things even the gods can't change." Aspen exchanged glances with Doombloom, who was nearby, also watching the strange behavior of the eccentric old man they'd thought they knew. Doom cleared her throat and asked, "Is that how you're all here? You should have been separated when you entered, since you're not partied." A faint smile crossed the librarian's face, nearly lost within his beard. "Indeed. There were no parties, except those of Brotherhood and Promise when this place was built. Our camaraderie kept us together, and I, for one," he looked straight at Aspen, "am honored indeed by the trust you must feel in order for me to be here." Aspen's lips quirked. "You've saved my life more times than I can count, head librarian, often at great risk to yourself. From when I was a young mage, when you gave me access to books that allowed me to follow the path my goddess set me on, to when you aided me in fleeing Bright after Lord Akuji's death." He barely restrained himself from using the air quotes that Rouge employed so often, but several of the people present were unaware of Akuji's resurrection, and now was not the time for that story. He continued. "You even saved us this last time, when we ran from hordes of cultists, and each time you have provided me with information and assistance that went far beyond mere physical aid." Involuntarily, his fingers tapped a pouch at his waist. The head librarian noted it, and the sparkle in his eyes said he knew what lay there. Rouge saw it too, and the gleam of curiosity in her bright hazel eyes told him he'd better speak to her soon, or he'd find she'd borrowed the object in order to solve the mystery for herself. Sighing, Aspen finished, looking around at the small group surrounding him. "I trust each and every one of you with my life, and for good reason. If that was enough to keep us together in the face of archaic magic, then I am glad." He clapped his hands together lightly, then asked, "No, how do we get out of here?" Doombloom said, "Beat the boss." The head librarian said, "Complete the final confrontation." They both stared at each other. Then Doombloom shrugged. "Same thing." The head librarian tilted his head and stroked his beard in the way he did when he was about to educate someone. "Not quite, young traveler. In fact, dungeons were once far different from the ones you now know." He cast a look over at William, who seemed to be trying to become one with the stone wall behind him. "Your vampire, or what did little Rouge call him? Fructipir. Yes, he could likely tell you, isn't that right, William Darvel?" William jumped, and if possible grew even paler. "Ah, yes? Or no?" His voice was faint, and he stared at the head librarian like a cornered. Not rat, because only rats grew fiercer when directly threatened, but some small, truly helpless creature who wished for nothing more than to be ignored. Pity touched the head librarian's gaze, and he smiled. "Your story is your own, William of Arvel, but you are certainly old enough to remember when dungeons were more than places to kill or be killed." Rouge inserted herself into the conversation, throwing a look of concern at the old vampire, who was nearly cowering beneath the attention. "So what were they then?" Her glare at the head librarian clearly said, "Stop picking on William and talk." Chuckling, the little man walked over to the door, looking out at the piles of snake bodies, which were already melting into the floor, returning to earth and spirit, as all things did. Dungeons began as places of testing and growth. People of all races and types would enter, alone or in groups, to face the creatures and puzzles within. They would emerge stronger and wiser, or not at all. Some dungeons were like this. He waved a hand at the last few serpents remaining. They pushed supplicants toward rapid improvement in anything from strength to wisdom to vitality and intelligence. You might face hordes of weak monsters who required much endurance to overcome, or single powerful beasts who took nothing less than great skill and strength to defeat. Other dungeons presented you with puzzles to decipher, or tests of knowledge beyond that of the average man. He caught Rouge and Doombloom's gazes and chuckled slightly. Or woman. The rewards, too, were more than mere gold or weapons. Rare books and lost secrets could be found, as well as scrolls to teach mighty spells or start a seeker down the path of a forgotten class. The masters of these dungeons were all but gods within their own walls, though once they accepted the role, they could never again step outside their own domain. Rouge leaned forward. Wait, what? The dungeon boss is like a job? A position that you can, like, get hired to do? The head librarian chuckled again. Oh no. You had to defeat the dungeon entirely, and if you did it well, and the former dungeon master was ready, you might be given the opportunity to battle them directly. The boss, as you call them, is no more the master than a general is a king. He looked around, an odd expression of satisfaction taking over his face. Very, very rarely, a master might choose to pass on to the Chaos Pool without a successor. When that happened, the dungeon was abandoned and became like this one, a wild dungeon. No one directs which creatures spawn here, and they will be disorganized and weak. It is a mere echo of its former self. We must simply find the heart of the dungeon, and there we will also discover the way out. Aspen felt his heart lift a little. So, there shouldn't be anything particularly powerful lurking in here? The old man tugged at his beard. Well, powerful is a relative term. I've read of the snake dungeon, and it was meant to test and train the entrance endurance. Nests of snakes would appear, often poisoning the invader, and it would take a great deal of time and vitality to endure it to the end. A small purple vial appeared in Rouge's hand. What if they have anti-venom potions? Frowning, the head librarian shook his head. It would take far more than any one person or party could carry. Generally, you must simply be able to survive until the poison runs its course, and preserve the few precious potions you can bring with you for the direst of circumstances. Rouge's eyes flickered. I have 999 each of anti-venom and antidotes. She looked over at Aspen, blushing slightly. I didn't want to accidentally poison anybody without being able to fix it, and you gave me a lot of money in Bright. He laughed, then pulled stick from its place tucked into his belt. With a thought, the staff expanded to 6 feet long, and the silver aspen leaves unfurled in a cascade from its top, chiming merrily. Well then, my friends, let's see how long it takes to get through a wild dungeon when we have exactly the right solution to its tests. There were a lot of snakes. Hundreds, or perhaps thousands, of the slithering serpents infested every room. It seemed that not only were they spawning randomly, but they were also breeding rapidly, and had been doing so for centuries. What they ate to allow them to proliferate so widely, Aspen had no idea, but he suspected it was some remnant of the dungeon's magic, rather than a hidden colony of rodents numbering in the millions. At least he hoped that was the case. Unfortunately, he quickly discovered that while he could find the snakes with his life sense, he couldn't control or even bargain with most of them, as he could with the natural creatures above. He could send something less than half of them slithering away into the darkness, but the rest were untouched by his goddess-given connection with nature. He had a feeling these were the ones who had spawned directly through the power of the dungeon, versus the second-generation wild beasts, but he couldn't be certain. What he could be certain of was that Rouge hated snakes. The moment the girl sighted one, her mombele would fly, stabbing or slicing the creature from a distance, even if it had already turned tail and begun to flee at Aspen's request. Kor and Doombloom were right behind Rouge, and Kor's hooves made snake jelly, while Doombloom's whirling silver blade was a barely visible haze of death. The rest of their party did not stand idly by. Silas flew in, using Screech to disorient the wriggling foes, then biting them. Flickers of skill and creases surrounded her at nearly every confrontation. Aspen, once his efforts at guiding the creatures away had divided the knot, would carefully crush the remaining foes with a gleeful stick, all while sending out heals to his party members as needed, though the sheer quantity of injuries quickly demonstrated why antidotes were needed, as well as healers. His mana was often far lower than he liked by the time a larger battle was finished. Sarave, for her part, hung back with William and the head librarian. Occasionally snakes would manage to slither past the front line or come in from the rear, and the fierce goblin woman would slay them without mercy, using a pair of goblin-sized blades she usually wore sheathed at her waist and used to cut and peel vegetables. The head librarian rarely confronted a serpent himself, clearly preferring to let the warriors around him take care of such business, but if a venomous snake got too near him, it would somehow mysteriously die, though Aspen never saw the little man attack. William was their sole true noncombatant. The vampire seemed entirely unable to perform an act of aggression, and more than one battle ended with snakes hanging from the arms or legs of the fructipyr, uselessly expending their venom into his undead flesh until someone else came to his aid. Indeed, when the mage saw one of his allies bleeding, it was clearly all he could do to keep from ejecting whatever fruit juice his last meal had consisted of. The group quickly fell into a routine. Aspen sensed the snakes, motioned to let everyone know where they were, and then urged any he could to slither away. Rouge assaulted the remaining ones from a distance, followed by Kor and Doombloom's wall of death. Aspen healed and squashed, while Sarave protected the two old men in the rear. In this manner, they plowed through the accumulated monsters, emptying corridors and rooms alike, searching for the heart of the dungeon. Aspen quickly became lost, but both the travelers and William seemed to always know where they were, and kept them from accidentally retracing their steps. William even tried melting or moving the walls using earth magic, but failed entirely. The head librarian informed them that only the master could control the dungeon and its creatures, and without a master, there was no controlling either. At last, they stood outside the only closed door they'd found. It was at the center of a spiraling corridor that had been filled to overflowing with serpents. At times it seemed there were more snakes than hallways, and the things were simply appearing from midair as the ones before them were slain. Doombloom looked nervous for the first time as she stared at the door. "I should have logged out 10 minutes ago," she murmured to Rouge, though Aspen was near enough to hear. "I've got a stamina regen debuff going, and I won't be able to do any of my best skills." Rouge grimaced. "Gotcha. I'll take the lead against whatever's in there." The girl looked over at Kor, who was panting and sweaty. "Should we rest first?" The goat shook his head. "I'm fine," he said grimly. "I've dealt with worse than this in the war. Snakes are better than ghouls any day." Aspen nodded, in full agreement. He looked back at the trio behind him. Sarave, too, looked tired but determined. She had been bitten a few times, and though Aspen had healed the injuries, and one of Rouge's antidotes had cured the poison, the cycle of sickness and healing was wearing by itself, much less in addition to the constant battle. The head librarian smiled with the most enthusiasm Aspen had ever seen the little man display. Even when showing off rare books and priceless scrolls, the librarian had never seemed quite so pleased. Drawing in a deep breath, Aspen turned back to the door. He reached out and pushed it open.